بیشتر مواد مخدر که میاد داخل خاک ایران از افغانستان وارد میشه.
آمریکایی‌ها و اروپایی‌ها و غرب و ناتو در افغانستان اساساً به دنبال مبارزات مخدر نیستند.
سهم دنیا از مقابله با مواد مخدر خیلی محدود و اندک.
ده ها سالی که ایران در امر مواد مخدر پیشتاز است، خط مقدم است.
You know, a person who said that we will defend our country and defend our people. The most important job for the President of the United States is defend our people from attack.
خانه بشیم از گشنگی میمونیم، مجبوری که بیاییم همینجا بدبختی بکشیم، اگر انفجار شدیم، اگر بدبخت شدیم، مجبوریم دیگر.
I'm very worried because worried about the future is not the Taliban, it's not terrorists, because the Taliban and terrorists, they can be contained. But when you have 1 million of your citizen addicted to a drug, it is a national crisis.
According to the 2013 survey by the U.S. Department of State, there are more than 1,300,000 drug addicts in Afghanistan, 300,000 of them children. It's been predicted that the number will double in the not too distant future.
The youth population are very vulnerable to being addicted to drugs. So because of the demography of Afghanistan, we are the second youngest nation in the world. It will be a serious strategic security and social threat to Afghanistan.
این مشکل بسیار سنگینی است. کشورهای دیگه اگر معتاد دارند آمار بیشتر یا کمتر، توانمندی‌هایش هم دارند. کشورهایی هستند که آسیب ندیدند، جنگ ندیدند و ایرانی را ندیدند، کم مشکل اقتصادی ندارند.
او توانا نداریم که بچه‌ها رو گوشت بدیم. اما چیزایش هم بسیار زحمت نگارشون پیدا آمد.
هر کس خود بر خود دیگه مبره بر قومای خود. ما خود نه قوم ما پول دارستن نه خبر داریم نه در ما رسیده که یک بجیوار دم در ما نرسیده.
Since the early 21st century, Afghanistan has been the world's largest opium producer. That's while in the early 1980s, poppy cultivation in this country was very limited and only for domestic use. Despite 30 years of war, the country has seen a steep rise in opium poppy cultivation and the proliferation of heroin processing laboratories. The question is, what can link war in this war-stricken country to growing poppies? The Opium War, which was fought between Great Britain and China in the 19th century, was a classic example of forcing a country to produce and use opium. But in our time, war and opium were glued together once again in the Golden Triangle, a group of three countries in Southeast Asia, Myanmar, Laos, and Thailand. This triangle of opium production was formed in the late 1950s to supply most of the world's heroin for three decades. Intelligence organizations and the Western Mafia played a key role in expanding and supporting this area. The aim was to finance the Vietnam War through drug trade. As the war came to an end, poppy cultivation in the Golden Triangle went down drastically. The drug mafia needed a new land and labor for opium production. From the 1980s, the opium industry shifted from the Golden Triangle into Afghanistan. The shift was made after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. At the time, the United States, with the help of the intelligence service of Pakistan, waged a cold war of poppy cultivation to fund the CIA secret missions in supporting Afghan Mujahideen and fighting the Soviet Union. In 2 years, the border areas between Afghanistan and Pakistan became the world's biggest producer of heroin. And Afghan leaders and local groups on Pakistan border and later in the south of this country set up thousands of heroin processing labs. In Pakistan, the number of drug addicts from nearly zero in 1979 surpassed 1,200,000 in 1985. Opium production soared non-stop even after the Soviet Union withdrew from Afghanistan. The Taliban worked in close cooperation with the CIA till the 9/11 attacks. However, after NATO won the 2001 war, a number of prominent Afghans met in Bonn, Germany, to develop a plan to re-establish the state of Afghanistan. The result was the Bonn Agreement. As part of that agreement, the Blair government was designated to address counter-narcotics issues in Afghanistan. The Taliban was blamed for producing and smuggling drugs.
بعد از حمله ناتو که هدف اصلیشون مهار کشت خشخاش بود که در حقیقت منبع اصلی تروریسم بوده در منطقه، اما متاسفانه در عمل شاهد عکس اون پدیده هستیم. این کشت خشخاش و تولید مواد مخدر سنتی ده ها برابر شد.
In 2001, as the Taliban rule came to an end, opium production fell to 200 tons that year. But with the presence of NATO and the establishment of a permanent government in the country, opium production rose to 3,400 tons and 3,600 tons in the next 2 years. The year 2007 saw a record level of opium production with 8,200 tons, which was a twofold increase compared to the year 2005. For years, it was assumed that devastating wars and political instability were the root causes of opium production during the Taliban rule. But as statistics show, neither NATO nor the central government in Afghanistan could bring the production to a halt.
8,000 ton haddaqal kaf tolid mazare Afghanistan ke از این چیزی نزدیک 350 تا 400 تن هروئین تولید میشه.
According to the 2013 annual report of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, the UNODC, poppy cultivation has increased 36% in provinces of Farah, Helmand, Kandahar, and Uruzgan in the south and east of Afghanistan. That's while opium production has increased 50% compared with the last year.
The main problem is only in one third of the provinces, which happen to be neighbor of Pakistan's. And those provinces, the Afghan governments and the international community, they do not have sufficient presence.
Why has this area developed such potential for producing three-fourths of the world's opium? Some believe that insecurity, opium and terrorism have formed a sinister triangle in the country. And before anything else, measure must be taken to restore security and order in the country. But neither NATO nor the central government has been successful in this regard. Why?
در افغانستان همین گروه های افراطی تروریستی را هم فراموش نکنیم جرایم سازمان یافته را هم فراموش نکنیم همه از اینا با قاچاقبران مواد مخدر هم دست هستند یکیش دیگه را حمایت میکنه و پشتیبانی میکنه
The UNODC has estimated the drug money in Afghanistan from 2001 to 2010 to be around $68 billion. The income from opium production is shared between different groups. Again, according to the UNODC, $2 billion in opium profits goes into the pockets of the groups inside Afghanistan, and $66 billion goes to the drug mafia outside the country. That's while around $200 million goes to the armed insurgents. So three different groups catch fish from the murky water. First, the powerful drug mafia outside Afghanistan. Second, the Taliban and armed insurgents. And third, Afghan drug traffickers and farmers.
دیگر همه این مبالغ سرسام‌آور به جیب عمو مافیا و بانهای مقتدر مواد مخدر میرسه که در خارج افغانستان و حتی ممکن است در خارج قاره آسیا قرار داشته باشه.
تجار و قاچاقچیان و کشاورزان افغانستان چیزی نزدیک 3.2 میلیارد دلار از این 68 میلیارد دلار سهم میبرند.
میزان ارزش افزوده مواد مخدر از افغانستان تا مواد برسه به اروپا تقریبا نزدیک 95 تا 100 برابره.
فساد یک عامل بسیار مساعد و راهگشاست برای ازی مسئله قاچاق مواد مخدر.
From 2012 to 2013, crop eradication programs decreased 24% compared with the previous year. And currently, the profit generated by drug trade is more than Afghanistan's state budget, a fact contributing to the spread of corruption to all levels of the Afghan government, from the police to parliament.
Because of the transition situation in Afghanistan, the Afghan government's has not been able to fully focus on the drug issue because right now the Afghan government has been busy and preoccupied with the security transition, with economic transition, and with political transition.
As long as the central government remains too weak to improve security in the country, the areas under cultivation would generate huge profit for the drug traffickers. In her recent survey, German researcher Sita Maas suggests that in order to eradicate opium production in Afghanistan, all the politicians involved in the anti-narcotics campaign must be dismissed from their political posts.
As you know, I could not attend your last hearing because I was in Afghanistan, where there are high hopes for a successful election, bolstered by a stronger than expected showing of the Afghan military over the last several months. Yet this optimism is tempered with depressing evidence of persistent corruption, continued wasteful spending, and increased violence.
John F. Sopko, Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, believes that the Afghan government must have the political will to combat narcotics, what it is devoid of.
As with the question of the drug corruption, is a multifaceted challenge and problem. So if we tackle the corruption in Afghanistan, it will produce dividend in our ability to tackle the drug issue. So the two are interconnected, as also the question of terrorism, also these another interconnected factors with the drug and with the corruption.
Ne bagas, ne awas khudit mibini ba chish mikhad. Ne mash ast, ne kar ast, ne zav ast, ne chiz nis.
Ma kar mikunim, bar shuma karam mitim, chi am mitim, ech kar, na kar bari ma dad, ne کارم که میته نفرام یا اون اول سوال سایب لست میته اول سوال کنم نفر خدا میبره ما مردم خودش ما بیکاره.
طرحهایی که اروپایی ها و غربی ها و آمریکا در افغانستان به کار میبره هیچ کدوم کشاورز افغانی رو تشجیع و تشویق به کشت جایگزین نمیکنه. او همیشه مزیت درآمد مواد مخدرش ارجحیت داره به اقدامات دیگرش در حوزه اقتصادی.
Perhaps the best way to eradicate opium production in Afghanistan is to steer farmers away from drug trade towards alternative, legitimate crops like grapes, wheat, and saffron. Spraying poppy fields is also suggested as another available option for disrupting Afghanistan's lucrative opium market, though chemical spraying has never worked in the Golden Crescent. Experts believe that it is lax security in Afghanistan that gives the Taliban a free rein to cultivate poppies and smuggle drugs.
One important reason for the both the production and the consumption of the drug is the question of poverty. Poverty provides the context, the excuse, and the attractiveness for some farmers in Afghanistan.
The majority of Afghan farmers work for big landlords, and the meager wages they earn are barely enough to get by. What's more, the lack of other viable options makes them work on poppy fields. Some farmers even have to marry their young daughters to their debtors. Opium trade accounts for 35% of Afghanistan's GDP. Against such a backdrop, poppy crop eradication is just chasing a mirage.
سرویس های اطلاعاتی که حاضرند و قادرند یک عنصر تروریست رو در یکی از کوههای پاکستان مورد هدف حمله های هواپیماهای بدون سرنشین قرار بدن، سوال این است لابراتوارهای تبدیل تریاک به مورفین و هروئین در افغانستان چگونه شناسایی نمی شوند؟ چرا مورد حمله قرار نمی گیرند؟
This is actually taking your face away from the reality because they are attacking some other targets for insurgencies and Islamicism and things like that. And international forces, when I talk to them, they say our mandate is not poppy eradication. Our mandate is fight against terrorism. So we will fight against terrorism. They will not touch the farmers or things like that. He said this is not our mandate.
Needless to say, it's a challenging task to close a Pandora's box of poppy cultivation, opium production, heroin processing labs, and drug trafficking. No doubt poppy cultivation is done inside Afghanistan, but heroin processing equipment cannot be manufactured there. It's no secret that NATO forces in the Golden Crescent turn a blind eye on farmers' activities, at least not to make enemies out of them.
Many people were worried that that if international community leaves Afghanistan, there might be a vacuum, there might be a civil war. Therefore, some farmers, some mafias, they took advantage of that uncertainty and increased their production.
Yeah, no, fuck it. Get it, man.
Experts say that opium production and export have increased considerably since the fall of the Taliban. Foreign forces in collusion with the Taliban have facilitated poppy cultivation and opium production and export to make drug trade in Afghanistan the main source of income for some countries in the world. It's not possible to export such a huge amount of drug from Afghanistan without the involvement of state officials, foreign forces, and international networks.
چرخش پول حاصل شده از مواد مخدر در سطح جهان رقم چند صد میلیارد دلاری را مطرح میکند اما آنچه به افغانستان نصیب شده بیشتر بدنامی کشت خشخاش است
آمریکایی‌ها و اروپایی‌ها و غرب و ناتو در افغانستان اساساً به دنبال مبارزات مخدر نیستند مسئله به عنوان مواد مخدر برایشون مطرح نیست در توسعهش نقش دارن هم شبکه‌های قاچاق مواد مخدر رو تحریک میکنن برای اینکه بتونن اطلاعاتشون رو افزایش بدن نسبت به گروه‌های تروریستی و گروه‌های خشونتبار و حتی نفوذ میکنن برای اینکه این مسیر به راحتی شکل بگیره تا بتونن اطلاعات افزایش یافته رو به عنوان قدرت نرم به دست بیارن
On the 11th of December 2010 The New York Times published an article on the relationship between the United States government and drug lords like Juma Khan. As the biggest and most dangerous drug lord in Afghanistan, Juma Khan was arrested and transported to New York to face charges under a new American narco-terrorism law in 2008. That's while Mr. Juma was a longtime American informer who provided information about the Taliban, Afghan corruption, and other drug traffickers. Along the way, he was also paid a large amount of cash by the United States. According to the article, in his heyday, Mr. Juma Khan was secretly flown to Washington for a series of clandestine meetings with CIA and DEA officials in 2006.
Afghanistan خالی از موضوع بود همونطور که خدمت شما گفتم ای که در افغانستان رواج یافت دست خارج است و ای که ادامه دارد دست خارج است و ای که اگر افزایش هم می‌یابد دست خارج است.
John F. Sopko, Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, has confessed that the international community has failed in reducing poppy cultivation in Afghanistan and in cutting the Taliban off the drug money. Likewise, US officials believe that they have not been successful in combating narcotics in Afghanistan, in spite of the $7 billion budget they spent for this purpose. American experts estimate that the Taliban might have received around $360 million over the past decade. European countries are the biggest consumers of Afghan-produced heroin. Narcotics production in Afghanistan is growing at an alarming rate. Apart from the local Afghans, people in neighboring countries and those located on the transit route used for smuggling those drugs to Europe are affected. Iran shares the longest border with Afghanistan. And is the first country on the transit route to Europe. And as a result, it has incurred huge human and financial costs. Iran is at the forefront of a full-scale war against drugs destined for Europe. The more the drugs produced in Afghanistan, the more difficult the job for Iran and the more the perils against the security of Europe. The annual income from organized crime and illegal drug trade in Europe is estimated at 230 billion euros. All kinds of illicit drugs are used in Europe, from cocaine to hashish to psychedelic substances. But above all, Europeans are the world's biggest consumer of heroin. Europe is a lucrative market for illegal drugs. Most of the 88 tons of heroin consumed in the continent originates from the Golden Crescent, the space between southern Afghanistan and northern Pakistan. The area where NATO troops are fighting the Taliban. The area home to the world's biggest poppy and hashish fields.
اگر تقاضا نباشه، اگر احتیاط نباشه، طبیعی است که در افغانستان هم کشته صورت نمیگیره.
Afghanistan is the world's biggest producer of opium and heroin. Of the 380 tons of heroin produced in the country every year, 26% is smuggled into Europe, 21% to the Russian Federation, and the rest to other countries. The Balkans remain the main route for smuggling drugs into Europe from Afghanistan. Traffickers use it at any cost because it's shorter and involves a 1,845-kilometer border between Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan.
It will be a difficult situation. I must say, it's a very difficult situation, not only for Iran, but for going to the Europe or Africa.
The Balkan route traverses Iran, Turkey, Greece, and Bulgaria across Southeast Europe to the Western European market. Iranian guards are at constant war on the country's eastern borders with Afghan and Pakistani smugglers. And on the front line of the combat to prevent illicit drugs from making it to Europe is Iran's Sistan and Balochistan province. Despite that, the drugs make it through because there's a lot of money involved, and those who are in it for the money are prepared to risk their lives for it. A 6,000-year-old land southeast of Iran, with a kind, hard-working people and a rich culture. The creator of the world's first painted pottery in the 3rd millennium BC.
ما با دو تا کشور موزلخیز افغانستان و پاکستان همسایه هستیم. 900 کیلومتر با پاکستان و 300 کیلومتر با افغانستان. در واقع یک سوم کل مرز افغانستان رو ما باش همسایه هستیم و کشورهایی که خیلی علاقمند به در واقع تامین امنیت مرزهاشون و توجه به مرزهاشون خیلی علاقمند نیستن و به هر حال این کار ما رو خیلی سنگین میکنه.
Because it's on the Golden Crescent, the illicit drugs trade has imposed an unwanted war upon it.
ما مواجهیم با گروه‌های مختلف شرارت و از جمله مواد مخدر. به هر حال توناژ بالای تولید مواد مخدر در افغانستان زمینه و کریدور ورودیشون و در واقع ترانزیتشون از استان ما است، استان سیستان و بلوچستان. خیلی از قتل‌های داخل استان ناشی از معاملات مواد مخدره. محموله کشف میشه، حالا اینا شک میکنن به بعضی از افراد و اقدام مسلحانه علیهشون انجام میدن.
نگاه کن، این حساب ما گریان 330 کیلو تریاک.
شوهر مای کار نبوده، شوهر مای کار نبوده.
رنده سرسونی خواهید، عذا در نیا.
نه نه تو خدا من این اقرام رو سو میکنه، من اقرام اینجا سرم رو برم. سرش هم میبرم رو سینش میگذارم آخرین مالت
الان تر خدا این آخرین شب مولاد میخواین دارم
باشه باشه تو بیکار میکنه
ما الان تقریبا 6 گروه تروریستی فعال داریم فعالیتشون اونور مرز هست منتها بر هر از شنگایی میان داخل و اقداماتی رو علیه نیروها و مردم انجام میدن.
It's a vicious cycle. Drug trafficking gives rise to terrorist groups. Terrorist groups create insecurity. Insecurity leads to an increase in the trafficking of narcotics. And narcotics swell the coffers of terrorist cells.
از محل درآمدهای ناشی از فروش مواد مخدر میتونن گروه ها رو شکل بدن، گسترش بدن. خب سربازگیری خیلی سخت نیست. با کمترین مبالغ میتونن اینها از داخل خود پاکستان، داخل در واقع مجموعه کشور میتونن سربازگیری بکنن و کارشون ادامه بدن.
امروز من خودم به
I personally believe there is a very strong linkage that the money related to drug is used for terrorism. If for a terrorism you need billions of dollars to buy equipment, to pay for the people and things like that, so somebody is supporting them.
مالک ریگی که جزء اشرار شاخص استان بود، گره خوردگیشون با اشرار مواد مخدر باعث شد که مقداری تقویت بشه و گروهش رو گسترش بده، فعالیتاش رو گسترش بده و اقدامات رو علیه مردم در داخل استان انجام بده.
من ادعا دارم ایران هم قربانی اول نارکوتروریسم در جهان هستش، هم محور اول مبارزه با نارکوتروریسم.
سربازان گمنام امام زمان عجل الله تعالی فرجه شریف در یک عملیات مهم، عبدالمالک ریگی سرکرده گروهک تروریستی شرق کشور و عامل کشتار ده ها تن از هموطنان شیعه و سنی را دستگیر کردند.
پشتوانه مالیمون یکی همین بحث گروگانگیری بود و باج‌خواهی و اینا بودن، یک بخشش هم از بالاخره همون قاچاقچی های مواد مخدر بود که امکانات و تسلیحات و ماشین و این چیزها را در اختیار ما قرار میدادن. حالا تا خود ما مستقیم تو مواد مخدر نبودیم، فقط از اون کسانی که این کارو میکردن خب از پول و مهمات اونا استفاده میکردیم.
An all-out war, a war spanning Iran's eastern borders, next to a beautiful ancient land. Afghan drugs have to make it to the lucrative European markets. Millions of euros are involved. On the length of Iran's eastern borders, large embankments that run many kilometers, multi-layered barbed wire fences, massive concrete walls, hundreds of security cameras, advanced tracking systems, trained guards, and a concrete wall.
مرز خودمون 600 کیلومتر رو تونستیم انسداد انجام بدیم. در حوزه سیستان کامل شده و حوزه سیستانی که در گذشته کاروان‌های مواد مخدر 40 خودرو و 50 خودرو تردد می‌کردن، الان نفری به کوله باریه. یعنی خیلی محدود شده، خیلی بسیار محدود شده.
Chabahar Port, Iran's only gateway to an ocean, sharing a 300-kilometer maritime border with the Gulf of Oman. A beautiful city with warm-hearted people whose only means of livelihood is maritime transport and fishing. A peaceful life that's become a target of traffickers.
مرزهای خاکی ما محکم شدن، تمام قاچاقچیان مواد مخدر رو آوردن به دریا. ما الان هم اینجا دریایی داریم که دریای آزاد با چند مایلی به آبای آزاد وصل میشه.
چطوره کاربر چطوره شهره؟
لنجداره ما در عذابن قطعا مواد مخدر که بیاد نیروهای نظامی و امنیتی و انتظامی به خاطر مواد مخدر هم برن برخورد بکن تا اینا رو شناسایی کنن یک سری معضلات برای لنجداره ها و سیاده ما وجود هم
Another route, another insecurity, war on another front, the lull before the storm.
This cannot be solved before problems in Afghanistan find a solution. The other measures, police measures, certainly have to occur, but I fear that there will no real change before the situation in Afghanistan can change, and there will be a solution also for all these farmers who are producing, who are living on the poppy seeds.
Narcotics production in Afghanistan continues unabated. Steadily and with no obstacles. The drugs produced in Afghanistan are transited to Europe via different routes. One route used for transiting heroin traverses Iran and Turkey before getting to Europe. Another spans countries in Central Asia and the Russian Federation. And the third one starts in Pakistan, continues into the sea, leading to Arab countries, China and Africa, and eventually Europe. But the shortest of these paths is the so-called Balkan route, with Iran at its very mouth, the front line of the war against the traffickers.
و این در حقیقت همه جهان را شامل میشه. چرا که تمام تقریبا کشورها در این حالی که مقصد هستند، مسیر هم هستند به کشور دیگه.
اینجا چون به خاطر نزدیکی اولش که نزدیکی با مرز چون هم جواره با افغانستان و پاکستان که اونجا مواد مخدر خیلی تولید میشه دیگه از اونجا باید بیاد تو خاک ایران اسکورد ماشین باری بودم مثلا جلوشون را پاکونی میکرد را پاکونی مثلا دو تا ماشین هم. یه ماشین که بار داره یه ماشین هم که مثلا یک پنج کیلومتر ده کیلومتر جلوتر میره اون مسیری که دارن اون نگاه میکنه هر جا مثلا ماموری راهزن چیزی باشه اون براش زنگ میزنه که تو مسیر چنین جریانی هست اون دیگه نمیاد اون ماشین باری دیگه اصلا تو مسیر نیاد نمیاد اصل قضیه برمیگرده به صاحب بار که اون مثلا از اون از افغانستان خرید میکنه دیگه، بعد خودش کرایه کش داره میاره مثلا داخل خاکی.
صاحب بار به من زنگ میزد که آقا بار منو به تحویل بگیر. من تحویل میگرفتم میدادم به افغانیا، افغانیا میآوردم به پاکستانیا میدادم، پاکستانیا به ایرانیا میدادم.
دلیل تیک تیک آوردنش اینه که مثلا آدم همون منطقه است، منطقه خودش مثلا خوب آشنایی داره. بعضی مثلا آدمی که تو سراوانه همون منطقه سراوانه میدونه، آدمی که تو خاشه این منطقه خودشو میدونه، و آدمی که تو ایران شهره این منطقه خودشو میدونه.
400 جلوتر 24 هزار تومان بوده کرایه، 6 تا 7 تا 7 تومنش افغانی می کرایه افغان کش میبره، 7 تاش هم پاکستانی، 7 تا دیگرش اینی که به ایران میاره، 2 تومنش هم این راس افغانا میبره، 1 هزار تومان برای دلالش میمونه. این وسط افغانی برد میکنه.
چرا؟
چون پول همه به همون هم میرسه، اونی که میپروشه، اونی که اونجا از اون خریداری میکنه. مثلا این دوتا ما وسط مفت مجن قربانی نشد.
Despite all the controls in place, part of the narcotics cargo makes it past the Iranian border. The war has to be taken to impassable mountain tracks, gorges, and paved roads.
یک کیلو هروئین در افغانستان امروز با پول ایران 3-4 میلیون تومان معامله میشه، ولی همین مقدار مواد مخدر از نوع هروئین در ترکیه به بیش از 40 میلیون تومان میرسه. لذا نشون میده که این مسیر یک مسیر پرخطری است برای قاچاقچیان.
There is no end to the war on the eastern borders. The traffickers possess heavy, high-tech weaponry. Their financial and human losses are quickly replenished. Drug money, poverty, and insecurity along the borders of Afghanistan and Pakistan provide them with an inexhaustible resource.
تنها پلیس نزدیک به 430 تن انواع مواد مخدر رو در 10 ماهه گذشته کشف کرد. بیش از شاید 70% به سمت سایر کشورها در حال ترانزیت بود.
سرباز کی هست؟ فقط سرباز ایران نیستیم، ما سرباز جهان هستیم. یعنی در واقع از اقدامات ما اروپاییان دارن منفعت میبرن، بخاطر اینکه جلوگیری میکنیم از در واقع انتقال مواد مخدر به کشورهای اروپایی، و اونها باید اینو ببینن، اینو باید حس بکنن.
47 تا 50 درصد کشفیات ما موادیه که به سمت اروپا داره ترانزیت میشه ما ضربه میزنیم. در حقیقت باید حساب کنیم اگه این مواد وارد این کشور میشه، یقیناً درصد مصرف کننده، درصد تخریب نهاد خانواده، درصد جرایم داخل این کشورها، درصد اقدامات حتی تروریستی، یقیناً سطحش به مراتب بیش از این حدیه که الان وجود داره.
The last battleground is the western borders. The same precision, the same discipline, the same war, all to prevent the drugs from reaching Europe.
برآورد شده در سال 83 12 میلیارد دلار خسارت اقتصادیه. که اگه بخوایم همون آمار رو الان هم داشته باشیم، تورم هم در نظر نگیریم، در حقیقت یه چیزی نزدیک به روزانه 100 میلیارد تومان هزینه داره میشه.
وارد به اسکره عادت داره شود.
یعنی سهم دنیا از ترانزیت مواد مخدر مقابله با مواد مخدر خیلی محدود و اندکه و ما اصلا حس نمی‌کنیم این سهم رو.
4000 martyrs, 12,000 wounded during an ongoing 35-year war against the drug traffickers. Who's going to answer to the victims' families?
خانواده اروپایی زمانی درد ما احساس میکنه که فرزندشون در یک از کشورها کشته میشه، مثلا در افغانستان کشته میشه. اون وقت احساس میکنه که واقعا ما چی میکشیم. بعضی وقتی آمدن و از نزدیک دیدن در واقع مواجه شدن با خانواده شهدای ما، اون وقت تازه با ما همدردی کردن، نه اینکه کمکی بکنن.
واقعا سهم مجامع بین المللی بسیار بسیار ناچیزه. نه تنها سهمی نداشتن خصوصا دو این چند سال اخیر، به ویژه با تحریم ها محدودیت در راه مبارزه ایجاد کردن.
Why should Iran be at the forefront of the combat on Afghan drugs bound for Europe? Why should Iran make the biggest heroin bust in the world? Why should Iran pay the price for NATO and the Afghan government's ineptitude in fighting drug production? What motivation should the Iranian soldier have to stand up against the smugglers' bullets so that Afghan-made heroin doesn't make it to Europe? If Iran gives up the war on drugs, how will Europe deal with the aftermath?
خب اگر اینها نباشن، ما این همه توان و انرژی که برای این موضوع گذاشتیم می‌ذاریم برای عمران آبادانی استان خودمون. یعنی تمام انرژی ما محدود شده، بخش عمدهش استان شده یه استان امنیتی که واقعا استان امنیتی نیست. استان قابلیت و توانمندی‌ها بسیار بالایی داره.